Hello, hello, hello there, kids. Happy holidays, and welcome to Discovery Sound, stories for young people here on Cortez Community Radio, on the dial at CKTZ 89.5. Now, everyone knows that it's almost Christmas, so clearly it's a good time for stories on that theme. Our first story has a very unlikely hero. It's about a lump of coal. I know. Lumps of coal are generally uninteresting and even a bit distasteful. I mean, Santa Claus usually gives coal to naughty children instead of gifts, right? But this little lump of coal has big dreams. While he may be a bit homely, the lump of coal is also pretty fashion forward and wears a smart little black tuxedo complete with tails, a bow tie, and matching shiny shoes. So warm up your imagination for this Christmas tale. Now, if you want to draw pictures while you listen, we here at Discovery Sound would love to see them. Just join our Facebook page, Cortez Community Radio, and share them with us. But back to our story. The Lump of Coal by Lemony Snicket. Harper Collins Publishers. The holiday season is a time for storytelling. And whether you are hearing the story of a candelabra staying lit for more than a week or a baby born in a barn without proper medical supervision, these stories often feature miracles. And miracles are like pimples because once you start looking for them, you find more than you'd ever dreamed you'd see. And this Stolt holiday story features any number of miracles, depending on your point of view. The story begins with a lump of coal, who, for the sake of argument, could think, talk, and move itself around. And like many people who dress in black, the lump of coal was interested in becoming an artist. The lump of coal dreamed of a miracle, that one day it would get to draw rough black lines on a canvas, or more likely on a breast of chicken or a salmon fillet by participating in a barbecue. But barbecues, sadly, are for summer, and this is a holiday story, and so it takes place in the dead of winter, when the air is gray and wet shoes line up in the hallways, shivering and crying tears of sleet. It's difficult to find a barbecue in the winter, although it is easy to find small animals scurrying through backyards and tipping things over, such as abandoned snow-covered lawn chairs, frozen bird baths, and forgotten bags of charcoal. And this is how the small, flammable hero of our story found itself tumbling out into the world. "This isn't the miracle I was hoping for," said the lump of coal. "Perhaps, if I roll around a bit, I can find something interesting." The lump of coal rolled out of the backyard, taking care to avoid the inevitable puddles of winter, and soon found itself in the center of town. You'd think the center of town would be bustling during the holiday season, but most shoppers were bustling around the mall several miles away. So there was plenty of room on the sidewalk for the lump of coal. It window shopped for a while, and then, to its delight, the lump of coal found itself outside of an art gallery. In the window were several paintings that looked like somebody had taken a dark, crumbly substance and smeared it all over a piece of paper. "I can't believe it," cried the lump of coal. "Here's an art gallery that displays art by lumps of coal. It's a miracle." But when the lump of coal rolled inside, however, and introduced himself, it discovered the art gallery was not a miracle after all. "We do not represent artists such as yourself," said the art gallery owner. The owner had a long, oily mustache and a strange accent that the lump of coal suspected was fake. "We have a wide selection of works by human beings that suits us just fine. Please, go away and don't leave smudges on my artistic floor." Disappointed, the lump of coal rolled outside. "That wasn't the artistic opportunity I was hoping for," it said to itself. "But if I roll around a bit more, perhaps I can find something interesting." The lump of coal rolled further down the block and stopped in front of a building where powerful smells were wafting. A phrase here that means coming from nearby, even though the door was closed. A sign on the building informed passers-by that the building was named Mr. Wong's Korean Barbecue Palace and Secretarial School, which made the lump of coal gasp in delight. Because I forgot to tell you that for the sake of argument, the lump of coal could read. "It's a miracle," cried the lump of coal. And certainly there was every reason to believe this was so. A Korean restaurant is an excellent opportunity to enjoy an indoor barbecue. In fact, many such establishments have small barbecue pits installed in the tables so that you can do the barbecuing yourself. I have spent many pleasant evenings in the Korean restaurant, taking shelter from the winter cold, warming myself by the barbecue pit at my table, and enjoying the smell of toasted rice tea, eggplant salad, and pickled cabbage, served alongside the roasted meats and vegetables. When the lump of coal rolled inside, however, it discovered that Mr. Wong's Korean Barbecue Palace and Secretarial School was not a miracle after all. The air was filled with the smell of oregano, which is not a Korean spice, and the owner was wearing a very ugly pair of earrings and a rude scowl on her face. "I don't need any coal," she said. "I get all my coal from a Korean restaurant supply factory. Everything in this restaurant has to be 100% Korean." "But Wong's not even a Korean name," said the lump of coal. "And judging by the smell, I don't think you're using proper Korean spices." "Please go away," said the restaurant owner. "And don't leave any smudges on my Korean floor." The lump of coal did what it was told. It began to grow very despondent, a word that means it was certain a miracle would not occur after all. "Perhaps miracles only happen to human beings," it said. "Or maybe miracles are only as genuine as like Mr. Wong's barbecue palace and secretarial school. Perhaps I should just bury myself and become a diamond after thousands of years of intense pressure." Just when the lump of coal was ready to return to its bag in the backyard, it ran into somebody I'm sure I don't have to introduce. He was an overweight man with a long white beard and dressed in a very bright red suit. "Santa Claus, it's a miracle," cried the lump of coal. "I'm not a miracle," said Santa Claus. "And I'm not really Santa Claus. I'm an employee of the drugstore, dressed up and giving out coupons. The real Santa Claus is at the mall." "Do you have any use for me?" asked the lump of coal. "I'm an artist at heart, but I'm very helpful when cooking meat." Santa Claus sighed. "Well, my stepson is a very disobedient boy named Jasper. His mother used to say he had an artistic temperament. But I think he's a brat. You're just the thing to put in his stocking as a punishment. I guess that's better than nothing, the lump of coal said. And when Santa put him in Jasper's stocking, the lump of coal found that being in a cozy sock was, in fact, better than nothing. And when Jasper found the lump of coal, things became even better than nothing. A lump of coal, cried Jasper. I've been wanting to create some abstract art featuring rough black lines. I'd be happy to be of assistance, said the lump of coal. Egad, you can talk. It's a miracle. It was a miracle, although the miracles didn't stop there. Jasper and the lump of coal collaborated on a number of remarkable objets d'art, which the art gallery then sold for an enormous fortune. That was a miracle. Jasper and the lump of coal used this fortune to visit Korea, where they'd always wanted to go. And when they came back, they bought the restaurant and turned it into a proper place, known as Yi Sang's Korean Barbecue Palace and Secretarial School, after the famous Korean poet who was unfairly imprisoned for crimes he did not commit. That was a miracle too. In the daytime, the two friends cooked genuine Korean food, and in the evenings they produced works of abstract art. They never saw Santa Claus again, although they did hear he'd been fired from the drugstore for making fun of someone who was buying a certain ointment. All those things are miracles. And it's a miracle if you can find true friends. And it is a miracle if you have enough food to eat. And it is a miracle if you get to spend your days and evenings doing whatever it is you like to do. And the holiday season is a good time not only to tell stories of miracles, but to think about the miracles in your own life and to be grateful for them. And that's the end of this particular story, although it does have a moral. Miracles can happen, even to those who are small, flammable, and dressed all in black. Hi everyone, welcome back to Discovery Sound, stories for young people on Cortez Community Radio. You can find us at CKTZ 89.5. Our next story is a lovely tale about a little mouse desperate to see Santa. Not only does he get a glimpse of old Saint Nick, he ends up going on a magical journey. Remember, if you want to draw pictures while you listen, we here at Discovery Sound would love to see your artwork. Just head to our Facebook page, Cortez Community Radio, and share them with us. Now here's our next story.
The Mouse Before Christmas by Michael Garland, Puffin Books.
On the night before Christmas, there was a young mouse who was stirring and whirling all through the house. He longed to see Santa, that jolly old soul. So he stayed awake late and crept from his hole. Out in the kitchen, Mouse stacked up a treat. Chocolate chip cookies for Santa to eat. He made not a sound as he hurried and scurried. But Puss was asleep, so he needn't have worried. Now onto the fireplace, Mouse gave a sigh. Though the cookies were heavy, he held the plate high. Next, where to hide? Mouse looked around quick. Snug in a pot, he could spy on Saint Nick. Mouse waited and wondered, and almost dozed off, until hoofbeats and sleigh bells came from aloft. From out of the fireplace, bang, crash, and tumble, popped merry old Nick in a heap and a jumble. Mouse was delighted. His wish had come true. What now? He wondered. What more could he do? As Nick stuffed the stockings, which started to sag, Mouse tippy-toed near for a peek in his bag. Soon Santa was done. Time to hurry away. He snatched up his sack and sprang out to his sleigh. With a swoosh and a swish, Mouse was bundled inside. But down in the darkness was no place to ride. "It's stuffy, it's crowded," Mouse started to shout. He squeezed, wiggled, and scrambled to find a way out. He soon spied a place to poke his head free, then beheld all around him sights splendid to see. He was high above the earth in a winter night sky, streaking past stars in a sleigh that could fly. Mouse loved this new feeling, and when he looked down, far distant below shone the lights of his town. Onto rooftops, down chimneys, old Santa did race. Mouse marveled the reindeer could keep up the pace. They soared past high mountains, skimmed low near a river. The twists, dips, and turns sent his tummy a quiver. Over bridges and castles and towers they flew. The rooftops of London gave Mouse a great view. Thrilling sights waited in each foreign land. In Holland, the windmills by moonlight looked grand. Mouse had never imagined a world so wide. He lost count of the wonders he'd seen on this ride, crossing cities and countries over desert and sea, past the Sphinx, two towers, and Miss Liberty. At the end of the night, at the very last house, Santa peeked in his sack.
"Why, what's that? A young mouse."
Mouse was so startled, he feared he'd just squeak. But in Santa's kind gaze, he found he could speak.
"Oh, Santa, I'm sorry for sneaking this ride, but your bag was so tempting, I climbed right inside."
Santa just chuckled. "Little friend, don't you worry. Hop on my hat. You'll be home in a hurry."
Mouse clung to the fringe. The wind chilled his face. The rocket-like sleigh zoomed and hurtled through space. Back home safe and sound, there were presents for all. The one Mouse liked best was a hat marked size small. Then Santa crouched down till his beard touched the floor. The friends waved goodbye through Mouse's little front door. It was so late at night. Mouse was ready for bed, but he wanted to try his new hat on his head. It was just the right size, not too big, not too small. A hat just like Santa's. Mouse felt proud and tall. Mouse snuggled down, letting dreams fill his eyes, hearing words meant for him from a voice deep and wise.
If you do all the things a good mouse should do, don't be surprised when your wishes come true. Merry Christmas, dear mouse. Merry Christmas to you.
Hi there, welcome back. I want to thank you all for listening to Discovery Sound, stories for young people on Cortez Community Radio. To tune in again, remember, we're at CKTZ 89.5. If you enjoyed the show, please make suggestions about which children's books you'd like to hear on Discovery Sound. Just head to our Facebook page, Cortez Community Radio, and share them with us. You may be wondering about the music we played on the show today. Many folks, particularly parents, will have recognized those famous jazz standards from A Charlie Brown Christmas by Vince Guaraldi, such as the Linus and Lucy composition, as well as Christmas Time is Here and one of my favorites, skating. Most of the rest of our musical stylings were by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. We'll wrap things up with another couple of Christmas songs from A Charlie Brown Christmas, The Christmas Song and O Tannenbaum. But before we go, I want to wish you all a happy, happy holiday season, wherever you are, whether you're here on the Discovery Islands, or if you're one of our internet listeners far across the Salish Sea. Remember, Christmas miracles can happen to anyone, whether you're a lump of coal, a little mouse, or a regular, everyday kid who's excited about Christmas.